Y'all got your Bible? Can I set you up for success? Hold up your Bible and let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a good praise. Would you be generous with your praise? Amen. You know, that's my heart's desire as your pastor who loves you, is I don't want you to leave the same as you came. I want you to leave stronger and closer to God than when you first came to the service. Is that okay? You know, if you come and you leave and you never grow, you'll get bored and you'll stop going to the gym. This is a spiritual gym, by the way. You know, I work out in a gym with my son 6 days a week. And every day when I go into the gym, I want to do something I couldn't do the day before. I want to increase a weight, or I want to do an extra pull-up or an extra push-up or an extra squat or stronger on my deadlift. Every time I go to the gym, I want to increase. I want to see that I'm getting stronger in some area of my life. Well, it's kind of like church, right? I liken church to a spiritual gym, and I'm your spiritual coach, right? And if I'm a good coach, I want to help you get results. And I want to see you grow in God like never before. I want to see you go where you've never gone before in God. I want to see you get closer to God, because, you know, the closer you get to God, it seems like everything begins to work out in your life. Amen. You see, the closer we get to God, He's got the answers today, doesn't He? He's got what you're looking for, what you're needing. So as we draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto us. Right, church? Okay, praise God. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 32, Isaiah 32. I'm ending the series today on the power of generosity, the power of generosity. Now, we've been on this series all month long, and next weekend is our 35th anniversary of Church on the Rock. Now, Robert Madu is going to be here with us in all of our services. We're not celebrating Robert. Robert's come to celebrate us for 35 years. How many churches do you know in our city that have been in existence for 35 years and still growing, moving forward, and thankful and grateful? We are so much for all of that. It's really a testimony to the goodness of God, isn't it? So next weekend is all about giving God the glory, giving God the praise for all that He's done in 35 years. What a testimony. But then after that, we'll begin a brand new series for the month of November, and we're excited about that. But I'm really excited about right now, because I know if you'll give me the next 25 minutes of your life, you that are here, you online, I can change your life. I can make your life better. I can help you. I can add value to your life. Because what I'm sharing with you, I've been a Christian for 50 years. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. Pastored this church for 35 years. So what I'm sharing with you is not theory. What I'm sharing with you is that I've lived it, acted on it, and it's changed my life. And when you find something good, you just want to share it with other people. Amen. So I encourage you, get ready, because God's about ready to do something amazing in your life. Amen. Because I know you're not just a hearer. I know you're a doer of the Word of God. So we've been talking about the power of generosity. Now, generosity is an attitude. Generosity is a spirit. It's not just a one-time, we're not talking about financial giving, that's a part of it, but much, much more, we're talking about a person's heart. You see, when you and I got born again, once we get born again, the only way you grow is through renewing your mind in the Word of God. You see, once you become a Christian, you don't grow by going to church. Going to church does not promise you growth. Just like sitting in McDonald's make you a Big Mac this afternoon. I know a lot of people who've gone to church and they never grow. They're stumbling over the same obstacles. They never achieve more, do more, rise above, overcome the things. They never get past this little things in the road, little obstacles. Why? Because they're not growing. Well, Pastor, they're a Christian. That's wonderful. They're on their way to heaven. That's great. They go to church. We should, but that doesn't promise us growth. Listen very carefully. The only way you and I grow as a Christian is when we renew our mind in the Word of God. The only way we grow is when we exchange our old way of thinking for God's way of thinking. That's the only way we grow. Now, in the world, they're selfish, they're stingy, they're self-centered. It's all about them. But once you and I get in the kingdom of God, that all changes, right? Our mindset, our outlook, our attitude. No longer are we to be stingy or selfish, small-minded, small-thinking, just about us, our four, and no more. Now that we're in God's kingdom, we should take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. You see, you show me your friends, and I'll tell you your future. You show me your best friends, and I know your priorities. You show me who you run with, and I can tell you the direction your life is going. So it's called the law of association, the law of association. So when you and I as Christians begin to be Christ followers, we begin to follow after God, who should we become like? God. It's not a trick question, everybody. Who should we become like? God. What is that called? The fruit of the Spirit. So the longer we're a Christian, and through renewing our mind in the Scriptures, you and I should take on the characteristics of God, not the world. And so God is what? A generous God. For God so loved, what did He do? He gave. So the greatest expression of love is giving. If you love our church, you will give your time, your talent, and your treasure to Church on the Rock. If you love your husband or your wife, you will give your time, talent, and treasure to your mate. If you love your family, you will give to your family. If you love your community, you will give of your time, your talent, your treasure to your community. Can I have a witness in the house? I can't say I love somebody. I love something. I love St. Louis. I mean, I love St. Louis. And the proof is I've been here 35 years. And before I planted Church on the Rock, I pastored St. Peter's Assembly of God Church before I planted this church. So I've given over half of my life to this city, this people, this community. That's proof I love our city. I love our community. Amen? So the greatest expression of love is giving. So you and I, now that we're Christians, we no longer are to be selfish like the world, self-centered like the world. We're no longer getters. We are now givers. Givers of our time, giver of our talent, givers of our treasure. Now, with that in mind, let me share a verse with you that will change your life. It'll change your day. It'll change your Monday morning. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 8. But generous people, that's you, and that's me, and that's those watching online right now, generous people. In fact, let's just say it with me. I am a generous person. I have a big spirit. Oh, doesn't that just sound good? So notice, a generous person, they plan. Generous people plan. I don't understand, Pastor. Well, you know, you and I know if we're going to get the most out of our day, we've got to be intentional. And here's what I know. Every day is a gift from God to you and me. Every day is a gift from God to you and me. And with that day, there's great potential from God. And in that potential, it doesn't come automatic. And it doesn't come accidental. The only way we tap into our potential is it comes on being intentional. Amen? Being intentional. So notice, generous people with a big heart and a big spirit, they plan their day. I still don't understand, Pastor. Let me break it down. They get up in the morning And here's how they think. God, you've blessed me. God, I am a blessed person. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. I am blessed. And God, I am blessed today to be a blessing. So God, I want to plan. I want to look for opportunities and open doors to be generous. I want to look for occasions, open doors, opportunities, hurting people. I want to look, where is there a need in my church, Church on the Rock? I want to come on Sunday morning not to be served, but to serve. It's not serve us, it's service. It's not about what does everybody have for me, but God, how can I be a blessing? How can I add value? How can I edify and encourage? God, how can I show my generosity today to a person, a place, to an open door, an opportunity? So you plan, you're intentional, you are aware because you care. You're looking, you're planning. Today, God, it's not about me. Today, God, it's about you and your kingdom and taking my life and making a difference. Today, it's all about, I'm going to plan my day. I'm not going to coast. I'm not going to get by. I'm not going to struggle, but I'm going to succeed because you said everything my hand would touch would prosper. I'm going to be intentional. I'm not a mistake. I have a mission. I have an assignment. As long as I have breath, God, you have a purpose for me being here. So God, a generous person thinks outside themselves, and they plan on who can I bless? How can I be a blessing to other people? And then it goes on to say, and they stand firm in their generosity. Two words, if you're a note taker, I would highlight the word plan, and then I'd highlight the word stand. Not only do generous people with a generous spirit, not only do they look for ways, they plan out ways, they are conscious and aware of opportunities to be generous, but also they stand for generosity. In other words, when people think of them, they don't think, oh, that person is a miser. Because people who are misers are miserable. People who are misers are miserable. You and I don't want to stand for being selfish or greedy or stingy. We want those that know us for being generous and not stingy. We want our children, when they look at us as parents or grandparents, to say, I want to be like my mom or my dad because they model generosity to me. My mom, my dad aren't known for being stingy and selfish. They're known for meeting needs in our family, our church, and our community. That when they see a need, they meet it with their time, their treasure, or their talent. So not only do generous people plan out their day to be generous, but then they're known for in their house, in their church, and in their community for being a generous person. Right here's a good time to praise a generous God with generous praise. Can you give him generous praise today? That's us. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at verse 24 and verse 25. Here's what the scripture says. The world of a generous person. Now, we already said we're generous, right? So say it again. I am a generous person. I have a big spirit. And my life, come on, my life. Now you have to know this. To have mental toughness, which you're going to have to overcome obstacles, you have to manage your mind and manage your mouth. You have to manage your thought life, and you have to have correct self-talk. And that self-talk, you and I call it as Christians, our confession. So now say it with me. I am a generous person. I have a big spirit. My world is getting larger and larger. Ooh, I like the sound of that, don't you? It gets larger and larger. So ask yourself, who's the most generous person that you know? Because you all need a model of generosity in your life. You all need somebody who stands for generosity in your life. They're known for that. You need an example to go to the next level. You need a coach. You need a model. You need somebody that ignites you and motivates and inspires you to go to the next level of generosity. And this is not us, because we're not stingy at Church on the Rock. A person who's stingy, their world has limits, restraints. Their world, they never tap into the potential, and their world gets smaller and smaller. Verse 25, it goes on to say, those who bless others, and we do that intentionally, we do that, we plan out our day, you will be abundantly blessed. So let's practice some good self-talk that will give you a tough mental attitude this week. Say it with me. I am out to bless other people. So I am abundantly blessed. I am abundantly blessed. I help other people. Other people help me. You sound so good. Give yourselves a hand clap this morning. Amen. All right. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 on the overheads. Look what the scripture says. Give freely and give spontaneously. I liken that to the New Testament where it says, be a cheerful giver. Right, church? Be a cheerful giver. And notice we're to give how? Freely. We're to give how? Help me fill in the blank. Give freely and spontaneously. So that means see a need and fill it. See a hurt and heal it. That means if you're a generous person, you're planning on looking for opportunities to help and bless and empower other people who are in need. That nobody has to force us. That we don't have to be begged at the offering for an hour and a half, made to feel bad to give in the offering, because we have an attitude, a spirit of a giver, and being generous, and being liberal, and a big spirit, right? Give freely and spontaneously. So when we see a need, if we're a generous person, watch this line I'm going to give you right now. If we're generous people, then we're moved to action when we see a need. If we're generous, we can't sit idly by when there's a need that we could fill in our family, in our church, our community. If there's a need that we could fill and we're not moved by that, then we're not a generous person. Because generous people, their generosity moves them to action. Friday, I live out in Forestdale. I drive 24 miles each way to church. I've done it for 20 years. Before that, I lived in New Melle. I drive 50 miles round trip to come to church. Every time I come to work, every time I come to an event, every time I come to church. 50 miles round trip for 20 years. But it's worth the drive. Amen. It's worth the drive. So I'm going home Friday, and I'm driving out to Wentzville, getting off at the exit, and there's a lady, looks kind of shabby and scrabby, and a young lady, and she had a backpack, and she had a little dog, and she had a sign there at the stoplight. It said, I'm a hurricane victim, could you help me? Now, as I stopped there in the line, nobody was doing anything for her. She was standing there, and you know, down through the years, Gene, being in law enforcement, has mentored me. And Gene has told me down through the years, now, Pastor, everybody on a corner with a sign, don't just give to everybody, because some people are pulling the wool over your eyes. Gene said, right, Gene, that sometimes they found out in law enforcement, they would find out, check those people out, and around the corner, they went and got in a Mercedes. Gene's amen at me right here. You know, there are some people that will pull the wool over our eyes, right? And they fake it, this, that, and the other, and you know, we get taken. That's not good. But then there are some that are the real deal. It's a real need. And I guess we got to listen to the Holy Spirit, that when He speaks to us, that we give freely and spontaneously and meet a need. So I saw her there, and you know, on the inside, I felt on the inside the Holy Spirit quicken me. That Dave, you got a little extra cash in your billfold, in your wallet. I want you to sow it into her life. So you know what I did? I rolled down the window. Nobody else in the line was doing anything. I rolled down the window. I motioned to her, and she came over, got it, and you know what? It put a smile on her face. The Bible says it's more blessed to than to. I actually was happier than she was. Because what? I was being used by God. I was exercising the spirit of generosity and the gift of giving, getting closer to God. You're never more close to God than when you're giving, because God is a giving God. And so that really blessed me. Giving freely. You've all done things like that, I know. Giving freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart like the world or the old you. The way you handle matters like this, look what it says, triggers God. How many of you need to see God work in your life? This is one way you can get God to go to work in your life. Through a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving of your time and your talent and your treasure. When you see a need in your family, in your church, or in the community, you give freely and spontaneously. What will it do? Trigger God to act on your behalf. Trigger God to go to work on your behalf. Isn't that an amazing concept? It triggers God. What does it do? It triggers a blessing on your life and everything you do. The last time I saw the word everything, it includes everything. Everything you do, all your work, your employees, your peers, your boss, your vendors, your clients, your overhead, your expense, your insurance, everything that you do as a business owner, everything you're doing as a parent, all your portfolio, your investments, your deals, your partnerships. God says if you had a generous spirit, it will trigger the blessing of God on your life. I think that's pretty cool, don't you? I think that's pretty cool. All right, let me share another scripture with you. Look with me, if you would, Acts 15 on the overheads. Acts 15 and verse 11. Don't you love the Word of God? I know you do. I love the Word of God because we're building our life on the rock. Amen? Acts 15, verse 11. Look what it says. Now watch now. Watch real close. Watch real close and see if you've seen me say something out of this verse so far in our teaching. Don't we believe that we are saved? And aren't you glad you're saved if you are today? Aren't you glad you're redeemed from the curse of the law? Aren't you glad that you can live without shame and guilt and condemnation? Aren't you glad he paid for every sin you've committed, are committing, or will ever commit? Jesus has already paid for it. Oh, my goodness. That we are saved because of Master Jesus, amazingly, out of his sheer what? Oh, can you say that again? Out of his sheer what? Oh, he was what? What's the next word? Do y'all remember earlier in my teaching? I said, if you're a generous person, you know you are. If you're moved to do something when you see a need, when you see an opportunity, when you see an open door, when you see a project at our church, when you see something happening that in our community that you could make a difference through the gift of generosity. Notice that Jesus, out of his generosity, it moved him to action to save our life. That's an amazing concept. So if I'm a generous person, I'll be moved when I see a need or a hurt or an opportunity to make a difference. Let me share one more verse with you. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 112. Now, I'm going to give you, out of this verse, the team's coming back out, I'm going to give you four takeaways. Is that okay? Got to have something to take away to apply, right? Four takeaways, four principles, four rewards of being a generous person. Everybody say, rewards of being generous. Okay, this is called textual preaching. That means you take one text and pull out points you apply to everyday living. So let's look at it in Psalm 112, verse 9. A generous person, they share freely and they give what? Generously. Okay, now in this one verse, You're going to see 4 points, 4 applications, 4 rewards of not being stingy or small thinking or self-centered or a getter. But when you come to Christ and you begin to renew your mind in what I'm teaching you today, you begin to have spiritual growth. The only way you grow is through renewing your mind as a Christian, getting rid of the old thoughts, exchanging them for new thoughts that align with God's will for your life. Am I communicating today? All right, so look what he says. Number one, their good deeds. So through being a generous person, number one, you will be rich in good deeds or good works. It's like our turkey giveaway at Thanksgiving, right? It's like the things that we do, the opportunities and the outreaches and the things, good works. Now, we're not saved by works, but you're rewarded according to your works. Now, family, you do not want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven, but you do not want to go to heaven without being rich in good works. Because in heaven, it's not communism. It's not entitlement. We all don't have the same mansion. We all don't have the same lot. And we all don't do the same thing. What you do in eternity is according to your works in your earth life. Earth life is short. Eternal life is forever. And your good works, your service, it's not about serve us, it's about service. It's about serving others, making a difference. So your good works through giving of your time and your talent and your treasure, you'll be rich in good works. And the Bible tells us in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, New Testament, you want to have an abundant entrance through the pearly gates, an abundant entrance into heaven. So that tells me then that the rewards of seeing a need and meeting it, that the reward of that is not only in this life, but in the life to come, it will be rewarded in heaven according to my role there, responsibilities there, and rewards there. Am I connecting with you all today? You know, when I planted Church on the Rock, I was 30 years old, 30. Kim was 28. And we just started Church on the Rock. In fact, remember, we're celebrating next weekend 35 years. And we were wanting to purchase the land over the street where our old sanctuary is. It was 5.5 acres there. Now, that was a farm back then, 35 years ago, where cows everywhere. The Omises owned it. It was called the Omis Farm. That's where you get the word Omis Road. And they owned it there. And we wanted to buy 5.5 acres to purchase and plant that building, brand new church. And one day, the accountants for the Omises knocked on my office door and said, "We don't know you, but we heard you want to purchase this land from one of our clients." We said, "Yeah." So they sat down. Now, this couple, they're now in heaven. Their name was Tex and Helen. They became good friends, became our mentors for Kim and I. They never came to our church, never came to our church. They'd visit from time to time, but they had their own church. They went to Brown Chapel over in the city. And they never attended our church on a regular basis. This was not their church, but here's what they said. "We believe in the vision of Church on the Rock and the mission. We want to create a matching fund because we know you don't have the money to buy this land. So we'll create a matching fund. We want you to put a thermometer up on the platform and we'll match every dollar. We'll match every dollar that the congregation of Church on the Rock gives." Now, they didn't come to our church. They weren't a part of our church, but they were moved by our mission. They believed in our vision. So you know what they did? They did a matching fund, and you know what? We hit our goal, and as you know, the rest of it, we bought the land. Now, where I'm going with this is their generosity created good works for them. Because in the last 30-some years, every person that found Christ on that property, every person who their marriage was restored, every person who got healed, blind eyes, deaf ears, the lame walked, everything that happened over there, everybody who's in heaven today, they get a reward in heaven for their good deed of generosity purchasing that land for Church on the Rock. Is that amazing or what? Number two, it says you will be remembered forever. You'll be remembered forever. What is that? Legacy. The reward of planning generosity every day of your life and being known and standing for generosity is that not only will you be rich in good deeds that'll be rewarded throughout eternity, number two, you will leave a legacy that it will last long after I do your funeral. So I throw that in there, amen. Because should the Lord not come back, you will have a funeral, okay? So a legacy, we want to leave a legacy that outlasts our life. Amen, church? You know, I'm thinking of about 20 years ago. Everybody say 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, I had a guest speaker. His name was Mac Gober. Now, Mac Gober, he was an ex-Hells Angel, real Hells Angel from the San Diego chapter, 1%er. And Mac Gober was a Navy SEAL in Vietnam out of San Diego. Mac was a bad to the bone guy, but then what happened is somebody gave him a card, like I gave you today, those three cards, gave Mac a card, and he got born again through that track, through that card. Think about it, a Hell's Angel and a Navy SEAL, a bad to the bone dude. He came to Christ through being given a card like I gave you to give out there earlier today. So then Mac had a testimony, and he started a place called Canaan Land, and I was on his board, and what he would do is like teen challenge, like dream centers. He'd take guys off the street and rehabilitate them. I was on his board for years. Mac has since died. He's in heaven. But I never met Mac before. Kenneth Copeland called me up and said, would you have Mac? Mac's one of my close friends. I said, sure. So Mac came and he spoke on the weekend. And while I'm sitting on the platform on that Sunday morning, now I had just bought a new Harley Davidson motorcycle. I had saved for years. I'd worked hard. I put money back. I had pictures of it all over our house, pictures of it on the dashboard of my car. My boys would say, Dad, what's that? I said, I see myself riding that someday. I just had got it, only had it a few months. And while I'm sitting on the platform listening to Mac Gober tell his story and the need for Canaan Land, something on the inside said, give him your new Harley Davidson. I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. We can all relate, right? So make a long story short is that I gave my motorcycle, my Harley Davidson, to Mac. Now, what did he do with it? It was brand new. He was in a group called Tribe of Judah. Tribe of Judah, a motorcycle club. They repainted it, their colors, souped it up, and then they took it to Sturgis every year, South Dakota, and they raced it in the drag races. Mac would tell me, Pastor, you wouldn't believe all the 1%ers that came to Christ this year at Sturgis watching your old bike drag up and down the drag strip, and we would win, and we'd have an opportunity to lead those men, lead those women to Christ. What is that? Legacy. That I'd long like to be remembered for leading people to Christ in Sturgis over having a motorcycle set in my garage. Come on, somebody. So the reward of being generous, number one, was what? Rich in good deeds. Number two, you'll be remembered. You'll have a legacy forever. And number three, you will have influence. You will have influence. Now, you and I, we want influence. We want influence in the marketplace, in our community, and a generous spirit will open up doors for you that otherwise wouldn't be open. It'll give you influence. It will open things for you, give you opportunities for being known as, that's a generous church. That's a generous family. He or she is a generous person. It will give you influence in your city, in your school, in the marketplace, in your church, and in our community. I don't have time to elaborate on that, but number four is what? It will give you honor. What is honor? It's the favor of God. It's the favor of God. You and I need God's favor because God's favor on our parenting will help us do what we could not do otherwise. God's favor on our career, our business, our leadership, our parenting, our ministry. We need the favor of God on our life to open doors, bring relationships, do what we couldn't do otherwise without His favor. So what's going to happen with that generous spirit? You're going to be rich in good deeds. What's going to happen? You're going to leave a legacy that will long outlast your life. What's going to happen? It's going to give you influence. It's going to give you a voice. It's going to give you platform. It's going to give you attention. What's going to happen? It's going to give you the favor of God all over your life. I'm done. Did you get something today? Give the Lord a thank you for His word.